My name is Ben Bailey, the minister for the Central Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Jesus said in John 12:48, "He who rejects me, does not receive my word, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." We try not to go beyond that which is written. 1 Corinthians 4:6, and the reason is this. The gospel is God's power of salvation. Romans 1:16. The word of God is able to make one wise unto salvation. James 1:21. We're told to study the word, to preach the word, and to live the word in our life, but we're never told to put man's opinions and ideas above the word of God. And so our source of authority is different. We believe the Bible only makes Christians only, and the only Christians. You cannot be a child of God outside of taking the Bible, doing only what it says, and following God's will. That's the only way a person can become a Christian, by following the New Testament. Now, what else is different about the Lord's church? The name or description of the church is different. And here's what we mean by name. We're not talking about official titles. We're not talking about titles like some have on religious groups today. All that a name is a description of one's character. It's a description maybe of who you are, a description of who you belong to. The terms Church of Christ and Church of God, they're not official titles. They are descriptions of ownership, and they're biblical descriptions or names. See, these terms teach us who the church belongs to and who its allegiance is to. The name Church of Christ is a biblical name. In Romans 16:16, Paul said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ." Who? The churches of Christ greet you. 2 Corinthians 1:2, "To the church of God, which is at Corinth." There are biblical names or descriptions that you read of in Scripture, and these always give honor and allegiance to Jesus and to God. It's the church itself that belongs to Jesus Christ. I want you to notice again the words of Jesus in Matthew 16:18. This is what makes the church unique. We want to honor God even in the way we describe ourselves. Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, question. Whose church did Jesus say He would build? Did He say He would build John Wesley's church, or John Calvin's church, or John Knox's church, or anybody else's church? Jesus said, "I will build my church." If Jesus built His church, then let's describe ourselves in the way the Bible does. The church of God, the church of Christ, the church that the Lord purchased. Remember Acts 20:28? Jesus purchased the church with His own precious blood. Who paid the price? Did some man, 1,500 years, pay the price for the church? No, when Jesus hung and died on the cross, it was His blood that purchased the church. If He paid the price and He purchased the church belongs to Jesus Christ. And thus, the church should not belong to any human, to their name, to their method, to their government, or their organization today. Did you know that denominationalism is against the will of God? In 1 Corinthians 1:10-13, Paul speaks about the problem of division and denominationalism in the first century. Paul said there, "I hear that there are divisions among you. Each of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" What's his point? "Let there be no divisions among you." 1 Corinthians 1:10. If it wasn't right for them to say, "I'm of Paul," or "I'm of Cephas," or "I'm of Apollos," how can it be right today to call ourselves by the names of other men, to call what we believe the church is after other people's names? You see, the description we give must be a biblical description. The church of God, the church of the Lord, the church of Christ, the temple of God, 1 Timothy 3:15, the church of the firstborn, Hebrews 12, verse 28. All these are biblical descriptions or names that show us who the church itself belongs to. And so the church is different in its description or its name. Finally, the church is also different in that its plea for unity is different. So many in our world today say, just choose the church of your choice and everything's going to be okay. They say there are many roads that lead to heaven. We're all on different paths going to the same place. That's not God's plea in the New Testament. And that is definitely not the plea of the New Testament church. The Bible clearly teaches there's one church. Now, this is going to be foreign to what a lot of people believe. But I want you to ask yourself, as we think about these passages, does the Scripture teach there's just one church? Well, listen again to what Jesus said. Matthew 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. From that verse, how many churches did Jesus say He'd build? One rock, Jesus Christ, one church. Now, is that the case throughout the New Testament? Sure it is. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the Bible says Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. Now, just for a moment, I want you to realize the body is the church. Those are synonyms. Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. How many bodies are there? Well, if you look over to Ephesians 4, verse 4, among those seven ones, there is one body. If the body is the church and there's one body, how many churches are there? Just one. That's why Paul said, let there be no divisions among you. This is something taught throughout the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. How many? One body, one church. God has always wanted His people to be united. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133, and verse 1. And I want you to see the plea of Jesus in the New Testament concerning unity. Notice John 17, verse 20 and 21. Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. How many did Jesus say there? 3,000? No. Jesus said that they all may be one. Does it look like people who claim to be Christians are one today? Absolutely not. Jesus never intended for it to be the way that it is. The Bible teaches that the road to heaven is exclusive. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. If I get to heaven only by Christ, and Jesus only built one church, there's only one road to heaven. That's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus is here talking about religious people. And in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, He said, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go down it, because narrow is the way, and difficult is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there are who find it. Did Jesus say everybody's going to heaven? No, Jesus said the way is difficult and narrow, restricted, exclusive, and only those who get on that road are going to be right with God. Oh, how we need to make sure that we don't listen to men, but rather we come to the Bible as our only source for learning about the church of the New Testament. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, there is a grave warning. Do not follow a multitude to do evil. We must never do what we do because the multitude thinks it's right. Ephesians 3 verse 4, we must read and understand what God's will is, and then we must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the gospel. Men and women today are brought back together with God. We're reconciled in one body and one church. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16. And so we ask you today, are you a part of the church that you read about in the New Testament? Are you a part of the church that has the right structure? The headquarters is in heaven. Laws have already, teachings have already been decided by God. Those principles are in the Bible, and we let Jesus be the only head. Do we have the right source? Do you have the right source of authority? Do you place the Bible as the only source from God? Do we put it as the only guide how to worship, how to be saved, how to live the Christian life? Are we making sure that we wear the right description or the right name? If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you can become one today by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ and doing what God wants you to do. Have you heard the Word of God? Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have you believed that Jesus is God's Son? Jesus Himself said, unless you believe that I am He, you will surely die in your sins. John chapter 8 verse 24. Have you been willing to repent of past sin in your life and turn to God? The Scriptures teach we must repent and turn again, that our sins may be blotted out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 3 verse 19. Have you made the good confession, like the man in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Romans 10 and verse 10 teaches we must make the good confession with the mouth to be saved. And then, have you been baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Remember, we're baptized into the one body. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. The Scripture teaches that baptism does now also, not alone, combined with hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing, baptism does now also save us. If the Bible says baptism saves us, why would I want to be a part of any group that teaches baptism is not essential? Jesus taught it was essential. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus taught that baptism was something you had to do to be a part of the kingdom here on earth and to ultimately be a part of God's kingdom in heaven. Jesus said in John 3, verse 5, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we ask you today, are you sure you're a part of the group you read about in this book? Are you sure that you're right with God? If not, we're begging you, we're pleading with you, in view of how wonderful heaven will be and how horrible hell will be, won't you make sure today, make sure that you're right with God so that you can go to heaven before it's too late.